Well, good morning. I'm happy to be here, and I trust that we'll all be blessed and challenged here this morning to continue our walk with the Lord and to draw closer to Him. And we have a holiday this week, and I don't think that we necessarily have to have a church service that just coordinates with the holiday, but I think it's good to draw our minds in and to think about the holiday and what we read in our Sunday school lesson, how that our nation has proclaimed days of thanksgiving to God. And it's important that we not forget the steps that our ancestors have made to show their appreciation and their thanksgiving to God. So I'd like to turn to Colossians over here in the New Testament, the third chapter. I'd like to read a little portion of the third chapter, or maybe a big portion of the third chapter. About half of it's what I want to read, a little over. And remember that the Apostle Paul here is our understanding, is the one that's the author of this, and he is writing to a specific congregation. And Paul is in the scripture, he's a one that does a lot of reasoning, asking people to make observations around themselves and to rely on past experience and come to conclusions that should be convincing, at least from Paul's perspective. So we'll begin in the first verse, and he starts out reasoning with them. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So who's he talking about? Or who's he talking to? He's talking to someone that would have a profession of Christianity. Someone that has accepted Christ. Someone that's confessed their sins. Someone that has been risen to walk in a newness of life. Been born again. A new creature in Christ Jesus. All of those terms could be conveyed here. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. So now comes some instruction. If that's who you really are, then seek those things which are above, spiritual things, not things on the top shelf. Okay? It is the top shelf as far as reward, but we're not talking about just getting those things that's up on the top shelf at the house. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. It says, don't put your sights, don't allow your affections to be on just the things that's of this earth. You know how easy that is for us? It's so easy for us to get to replace the true riches and the true affections we ought to have. It's easy for us to replace those with aspirations. I think it's easier for maybe young people, young adults, to have these dreams and this aspiration of you know, maybe having your forever home here on this earth. Well, you know, as the older I get, the realization that forever home means that I want to be prepared for heaven. You know, forever home, maybe that's the one I spent the most time in. That's the one that we're at right now, literally, that we've lived there longer than any other place. But, you know, ultimately, I want my affections to be set on my forever home in eternity. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're not talking about a corpse walking around. And we have such a fascination today with skeletons and all of that in our society, which I think is absurd, by the way. But it says here, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the old man, the old sinful man being dead, and your life, the essence of what's important to you is hid with Christ in God. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You're here already, but when Christ appears to take his children home, you're gonna be with him. You're gonna appear with him in glory. There's something here that's beyond our little terrestrial atmosphere that we have. You know, the job you go to, the routines you go through on a daily basis, your obligations to keep the lights on and the food on the table and all of those things, that's going to just fade away. It says, mortify, therefore, here's some instruction for them. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, those things that would bring a separation between you and God. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. We got a lot of that in our world today. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There's severe consequences that's coming to those that are not willing to separate themselves from these atrocities of human behavior that sin has introduced and made so readily available in our world today. He says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. We all have been delivered by the grace of God from something that was very despicable in God's sight. Maybe a bunch of somethings, but at least something. He says, for now ye also put off all these. There's a moving up beyond just getting rid of those things that's so heinous in God's sight. He says, you put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's why we take a stand as Christians to not use foul language and curse words. It's not conducive to profession of faith. Lord, help us to have a vocabulary that's not offensive to God and other people. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Wouldn't that be nice if everybody had those things? It'd be easier to get along with everybody, wouldn't it? If they had those kind of attributes. These are the things that we ought to be. He's just given us this, trying to paint this complete picture of what it was like to really have the characteristics of Christianity. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This bond, put on charity or put on love. Learn how to cultivate that. Learn how to help it grow and mature and develop and blossom and produce fruit in your life. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, not the unrest, not the distress, not the confusion and all of the things that causes people to be anxious today, but rather let the peace of God. How are we going to have the peace of God if we're so absorbed and consumed with the stresses and distresses of this life. We have to have a connection with God. We have to have a spiritual life. And the last phrase in this verse, it says, "And be ye thankful." And be ye thankful. This sounds like a command, doesn't it? I've always been fascinated with this verse. Why? Because in my mind, thankfulness is something that ought to be a response to something that's been a blessing to you. But this don't even sound like that. It sounds like you're given a command to be thankful. So, how do y'all feel about that? Got Thanksgiving coming up. Now, I think all of us are thankful for a day off, right? It's a paid holiday. National paid holiday, if y'all didn't know that. If you have a job of any kind that has any kind of benefits, you get Thanksgiving off, most generally. And I'm thankful for Thanksgiving on that ground. And I can say, thank the Lord, one day I don't have to go to work. All right? But this is a little different context. He says, be ye thankful. So I know what it's like to be a parent, and I'm thankful now that I know what it's like to be a grandparent. And when our children are little, sometimes we tell them things that they ought to do, and they don't really want to do it. When they start frowning, and they start crying, and their little mouth is turned down on the corners, and maybe their lip is stuck out. One of my responses to that situation is to tell them that they have their smile on upside down. You got your smile on upside down, and you really need to turn it over. And usually, if you press that point, you can get them to at least smile at the thought that they got a smile on upside down. They may not get happy over their situation, but they can at least start to smile a little bit about thinking about having a smile on upside down. But I'm thinking too about when little children come along and they start to be able to talk and communicate. And I've watched parents right here today, especially when they're receiving a piece of candy or some favor from an older person, might be a parent, might be a grandparent, could even be a sibling. Now, what are you supposed to say? And they're coached, they're instructed to say thank you. And at first, they don't even know what they're saying, really. It's just a word they're learning. It's a phrase. You know, sometimes as Christians, to say thank you, Lord, is just a phrase that we've learned how to repeat. But we want our children to learn that when a favor and a gift is given, that the appropriate thing to say is thank you. We want them to learn that. We want them to have it down in their character where that they feel bad if they don't say thank you. And how do we do that? Well, we train them and we teach them little by little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. What are you supposed to say? No, you don't just take your candy and run. You don't just take your little, whatever the little gift is, you don't take that and just run off and indulge yourself. You say thank you. We're a requirement. And we have here in the scripture, it says, be ye thankful. It sounds like a command. It sounds like instruction. And yet, would not you agree that one of the predominant attitudes or something that's fundamental about Christianity is Christians should have a grateful disposition? Isn't that what we come to expect? I think it should be. And in God, aren't we children? By the grace of God, I'm a child of God. I've received an adoption. And if I told my children when they were small, what are you supposed to say, young man? Aren't you supposed to say something? And coached them and guided them and demanded of them and taught them little by little to where they would say, thank you. And I trust that all of my children today feel an obligation to say thank you when somebody does something for them. Whether it's something tangible or whether it's something intangible. I trust that they feel a responsibility to say thank you in the natural sense. And if I can do that as a literal father, shouldn't God be able to give us some instruction? Be thankful. So what does it mean to be thankful? Sometimes I feel that I come up short knowing how to express thanksgiving to God. I want to notice a few songs that we have in our book. Number 189 has a verse in it expressing thanksgiving. And I want us to notice the title of the song is The Pilgrim's Confidence. And in verse 2 it says, if the sun shine, my heart is cheerful. If the clouds come, I can rejoice. Help me, O Lord, to ever be thankful. Isn't this what the scripture said? Be ye thankful. I have, like Mary, what about Mary? It says, I have, like Mary, made the wise choice. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn. Precious Redeemer, keep me faithful. By thine own strength in grace I stand. Help me do right and live more grateful. Help me to live in a manner that exudes all of those things that we talked about. If I be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All those things I read to us earlier, Lord, help me in my life to portray in that to come out of me. Help me do right and live more grateful. Soon I shall reach the shining strand. Help me do right and live more grateful. Soon I shall reach the shining strand. He's talking about making it into eternal home and abode with the Lord. Remember, Paul said, be ye thankful. I believe he said that with God's anointing and inspiration behind it. Be thankful. What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to do? You know, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're able to be here today. It's of His blessings. And there is something that ought to be deeply grateful. Lord, I'm grateful for the health that I have. I'm grateful for the strength that I have, the abilities I have. I'm thankful that I can come together with others that love you. And I want my life to be something. I told this man that we were talking about the things of the Lord at work. And I told him that I want my life to be able to portray to others what Christianity is without me having to preach to them. I want them to be able to look on and see that there's something real about being a Christian. I want to be able to have an attitude and a thankfulness. I want to be able to portray a peace deep down in my heart when I face discouraging things and disappointing things. I want to be able to have a light on for those that's out in the darkness of this world. I'd like to turn to page or song number 62 in our book and notice verse 3. It says, "For eternal life and salvation great, thankful let us be." Isn't that something to be thankful for? The opportunity to know that we can have eternal life and that we can be saved from the power of sin. That's something to be thankful for. Praise, it says, "For the strength he gives me, on him we wait, and for victory." Lord, thank you for the victory that I have. Maybe there's some other victories you'd like, but I want to praise you and thank you for the victory I do have. I want to be thankful for the ground I have gained. I want to be thankful for where I have come from. And I'm looking for you to help me in the days ahead. In song number 274, and I believe it's the third verse in this one as well, it says, "What bliss to dwell where heaven's blessings fall, until my soul with mercy's drops be dewed, respond and answer to my Father's call." Have you ever been outside when the dew fell in the evening? I've had some of those experiences. And it seems like one moment your clothing is everything, you feel pretty dry, unless it's really hot and you're perspiring. But it seems like there's that place called the dew point. And when the temperature drops and the humidity is such that it starts condensing and falling out of the atmosphere, you go from being not wet to that dew. You're just all of a sudden you realize it's on my face, it's on my hair, it's on my clothes, it's on my hands. And it says, listen to the words again. "What bliss to dwell where heaven's blessings fall, until my soul with mercy's drops be dewed." What's he talking about? How fortunate it is. This is what he's talking about. How fortunate it is to be able to live in a place where we tarry before the Lord until we feel his blessings come down. It's pretty hard to escape the dew when it falls. And it's not like dodging raindrops. It's just like this wetting agent that comes down over you. And he says here, responds in answer to my Father's call with words of thankfulness and gratitude. Lord, help me to realize the blessing and the blessed state that I can live in and respond with thankfulness and gratitude. One more song, number 335, in verse 2 here. It says, "As I walk this narrow pathway that will lead to endless rest." A narrow pathway to endless rest. You know, sometimes we focus on the narrow pathway and the restrictiveness of living to please the Lord. It doesn't matter our age, and it doesn't matter our station in life. There's always something that seems like that I should or shouldn't do to be pleasing to the Lord. That's the narrow way. It says, as I walk this narrow pathway that will lead to endless rest. That's what our objective is. In the arms of my Redeemer with my head upon his breast, I cannot enough be thankful for the love he showed to me when he bore my sins of crimson in his body on the tree. We have another song that says, Jesus paid it all. He paid the whole price. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't pay for it if I wanted to, but he paid the whole price. He was able to give us something that nothing ever could before and nothing ever will again. He gave us the opportunity to claim the sacrifice that he gave where we can be adopted and be a child. Thank the Lord for that. How do we express it? Lord, help me to be better at it. I'd like to look at Philippians. Our Sunday school quarterly has been based on this. But let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And notice what he says here, beginning maybe in verse 2. He gives some names here that I probably would not pronounce correctly. And he says at the last part of the second verse that they be in the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Incorporate thanksgiving in your prayers. Don't, you know, God's not just a limitless supply of blessing warehouse. You know, it's good to be able. Yesterday, I went by Rodney's place and he's needing some parts for a faucet. And so, because we're the age of the internet, we were looking on the internet for some parts for a faucet. And we think we found what we needed and we ordered those. But nobody locally had it. We checked Lowe's and Home Depot and Hinkle's Ace Hardware and all of that. They didn't have it, according to the internet. But there was some place online that did. And you know, the Lord has limitless blessings for all of us. But he's more than just a warehouse of blessings to give you what you want or what you need. He wants to be a father to you. He wants a relationship. He wants it to be something that you invest yourself into. And remember, through the inspiration of him, Paul said to those that he wrote to in Colossians, or in the book of Colossians, be ye thankful. You think about the times that you tell your little child, what are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say thank you? And when they're really young, they don't know if they're supposed to say please or thank you. No, they know it's one of them. But after a while, they learn, I'm supposed to say thank you now. It's please before I get it, and it's thank you after I get it. But it's okay. You're teaching them how to behave. You know, the Lord has to teach us how to behave. In this verse here, he says, be careful for nothing. You know, we don't have to worry whether God can handle our problems, our situation, our dilemma, our need, whatever it is. We got a message somehow here recently, or Anita did, not me. A young lady was concerned about her cat. Well, right now I have 14 cats in my house, and if I had less, it would probably be okay right now. But if you only had one, it could be maybe a concern of yours. And they were concerned about their cat, and they were praying for their cat. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you think cats is off of God's radar, you missed it. He knows what touches you. You know, the scripture says that we have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And this verse here says, be careful for nothing. That means that I don't have to have any reservations when I come to the Lord. I know, Lord, you know why I feel the way that I do. You know my concerns. You know my anxiety. You know my frustrations. And it might be dealing with the children. It might be dealing with my coworkers. It might just be dealing with life in general. But when we come to Him with our troubles, might be a physical affliction, when we come to Him with that, come with thanksgiving. This is just teaching us how we ought to do it. You know, one of the most grievous things that I have to deal with on my job is Eversentia. Ever since you worked on my car. The backup lights don't work. And we put a radiator in it. You know, ever since you know how to get me on the defense when you come to my place of business? Use that on me. Ever since you worked on my car, the seatbelt won't come out. And I'm expecting the next thing to be, what did you do to it? You know, I would a lot rather somebody come and say something different. There's a lot of different things you could say to get me on your side when you bring your troubles to me at my place of business. But that's one way not to do it. Lord, ever since I became a Christian, you know all the troubles I've had. I want to admonish us. Don't come to the Lord like that. Don't start your prayer out, Lord, ever since I made a commitment to walk with you, I've had nothing but trouble. Day in, day out. You know, He's big enough and strong enough, and I try to be big enough and strong enough on my job not to let that happen. I just know those people, they're hurting because their car's not working properly. And God's big, He's bigger than I am, a lot bigger. He has infinite capability, and when you come to Him and say, ever since I became a Christian, I've had nothing but trouble, He'll listen to you, and He'll still love you. But remember what Paul said. Be ye thankful. Be thankful. And he said here to the Philippians, be careful for nothing. You don't have to be anxious or worry that God won't hear your troubles or don't want to help you or won't give you some kind of direction or understanding in life. But he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Lord, you know where I come from. You know my struggles. And I want to thank you for every time that you've helped me rise above my past, my mistakes, my own failures, the obstacles that I've come against in life. Thank you, Lord. I can see a little progress just this week. We had another one of the fellows working there, trying to get a wheel bearing out of an aluminum suspension component that it bolted to. Took all the bolts out, and we had to take more apart than we intended to and use a press. When steel and aluminum are bolted together in an interference type fit situation, sometimes things just kind of grow together. And it took a lot of effort to get it apart. But early on, we got it to move just a little bit, maybe 10 or 15 thousandths. We had a crack there. And many times, we come to the Lord and our thanksgiving is just that little bit. I see a fraction of an inch, so to speak. I see a small sliver of improvement. Thank you, Lord. I didn't react quite as bad as I did the last 47 times. And I appreciate that. I feel like I've got a little bit more faith than I had 10 years ago. Or last week, or last month. I feel like, Lord, I've made a little bit of progress with this discipline issue I have with this one particular child. I thank you, Lord, that we've made a little progress. But Lord, we still got some more room to go. I need some help. I don't know how. I want to win. And I want to come out on the right side. And Lord, I need some serious help, but thank you for the progress that has been made. I'm grateful for that. And live like it. Live like you're grateful. It's one thing to express to someone else what you're thankful for, but it's another thing to express thanksgiving to the one that it came from. You know, we can say to one another in our greetings, in our communication, I thank the Lord for His blessings. And be sincere and honest with that. But let's take the time and cultivate, be ye thankful. What are you supposed to say? Lord, I got some problems. But I want you to know I'm grateful for everything you've helped me with when we come to the Lord in our prayers. I'd like to go a couple little verses in closing. Let's go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter in the Old Testament. Notice something here that has always been an encouragement to me. It says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, "The blessings of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Oh, that's so good. The blessings of the Lord. You remember, we was talking about that warehouse of blessing and good things that the Lord has. I believe he's got something on the shelf for every one of us. He says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." No hangover, no aftertaste, nothing that would cause you to wish that you hadn't asked for it. It's just good. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And today we have such an epidemic of people not being willing, individuals not being willing to acknowledge where their help comes from. Acknowledge that it's of the Lord's mercies that we have life and health and strength and able to go about our everyday duties. I'd like to read in closing and try to tie it into this blessing of the Lord. 2 Timothy, New Testament, 3rd chapter. Beginning in verse 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come." I believe all of us believe that we're living in the last days, and there's been more than our generation that felt that way. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's all around us, isn't it? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Have you ever met ungrateful people? They'll take everything that you'll give them and use it up and come back and want more. There's never really appreciation shown, no gratefulness expressed, no thankfulness, and yet they just come back and expect you to dole out some more. You know, it said in Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There is an economy. There is something that ought to be a revolving thing. Come to the Lord, I don't have to hold back. I can ask him for anything. But I want to approach him with thanksgiving. I want to approach him with gratitude for what he done for me. He paid the price where I can be saved. I don't want to ever get away from that. He's given me so many things in life. I shudder to think where any of us here today would be if it wasn't for God's blessings. Where would you be if God hadn't had mercy on you? I know I wouldn't still be married for almost 39 years. You can write the statistics, tell me I wouldn't be. And you wouldn't be either for 50 years. It just wouldn't happen. In the world that we live in, it's accepted. Fully accepted. I could be at least on marriage 3 by now. Maybe more. It's God's mercies. Lord, help us to be grateful for what the Lord has done for us. All these people that are lovers of themselves, ungrateful is where they're at, unthankful. You know, happiness hinges on being thankful. To be happy without thankfulness is very shallow. And I'd like to explain what I'm talking about. We look in these verses that we read. Verse 3, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy said, without natural affections. That is rampant in our world today. Without natural affections. You know, those people say that that's what makes them happy. You know how long it lasts? Not very. Their success rate is not very good either. To marry, to be in a relationship, natural or unnatural, if you don't approach it God's way, it's not going to be very beneficial. It's going to be only surface happiness. But true happiness comes from practicing what the Scripture commands us to do. What Daddy says. What are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say thank you. When somebody gives that to you, say thank you. Tell Papa thank you. Tell Brother so-and-so, thank you. Tell sister, you know, tell the neighbor, thank you. What's our Heavenly Father telling us? Be thankful. Yeah. You know that thankfulness will cause us to know how to be genuinely happy? Because we can ask the Lord for happiness. That's not off the list either. We can say, Lord, how do I be happy? You know all of my pressures. You know all of my anxieties and all of my frustrations in life. And you know how I want to run out in the woods and scream some days. You can tell him all of that. But Lord, I do thank you for the little smiles I get. And I do thank you for some of those little blessings that I've experienced. Lord, help me to know how to be happy in my station in life. Help me to be happy with what I'm dealing with and know how to rise above it. And the Lord will give us a level of happiness that will carry us through. I know what I'm talking about because I've met some things that felt like it hit me in the pit of my stomach and knocked me flat. Knock the wind out of me. And I know that when I turn to the Lord and can say truly, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole down in my spirit. Lord, you know the tears I've cried. You know the worry I've had. You know the anxiety I've dealt with. And I need to know how to go on. You know he's got a blessing on the shelf for us right in those times. And I believe he can give us a deep-seated happiness of knowing that I'm a child of God. I'm knowing that he will carry me through, that he will take me to the final destination. To say thank you is common courtesy. And it's something everybody should be expected to learn, to be thankful and to express it in word and deed is a secret to happiness. I've told this story before, but I knew a man that I've never met another person that seemed to be more determined to have a smile and be happy in the face of whatever he faced. And I didn't know his name for a long time. He had been a customer of the place I worked many years ago, almost 40 years ago. He used to bring his cars in for us to work on. And it didn't matter what we told him was wrong with his car. He said, fine. And he had this toothy smile that he would get, fine. And we would tell him, you don't understand, this is going to be expensive. He'd say, fine. How much did you say? In fact, he said fine so much that we called him Fine. That was our name for him, was Fine. I found out his name was Gene Veith. It wasn't Fine. But he portrayed something, there was something about him that he was determined to look on the thankful side. Well, he might say, I'm thankful it's not worse. And we can say that too. Lord, help us to face life. Take the admonition that the Lord wants to give us and be thankful. Just like you trying to teach your little children to say thank you, the Lord wants us to learn it. He wants us to have that deep down in our character. Ultimately, he wants us to be able to be happy. Not a superficial thing. Not like the selfish people in the world all around us that's consuming everything on their own lusts, their own appetites, their own desires. They don't know how to be thankful for what they've got. They just want what you've got. They don't want to know how to be thankful for how the Lord made them. They want to change how they look. They want to change who they are. They go to all kinds of extremes trying to find happiness. In reality, there's this real little secret if they would just learn how to be thankful for how God made them. You know, I'm old enough now to be gray-headed, but I've been gray-headed inconveniently. You know, I've been gray-headed for mostly gray for I don't know, 25 years. 25 years ago, it'd be nice not to be great. But I'm thankful I've had hair. Please don't take that wrong. Some people don't have hair, but what they do have is not great. So, Lord, help us. Find something to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've blessed me with. I want to practice not only telling somebody else that I thank the Lord for his blessing. I want to be able to tell him that better. I want to live like that. I want others to know that I'm grateful that I can be a Christian in the age that I live in, and I don't feel like I'm a persecuted member of society, but I'm grateful to be a Christian. And I'm grateful to be able to have an opportunity to show somebody else the reality that Christ can make a difference in our life. You pray for me.